שפירה, זכר צדיק לברכה.
נעבור לרב שמואל שפירא. רב שמואל. We're talking about the connection between רב שמואל שפירא and his cousin רב אלישיב. They were neighbors and cousins. So there was another connection between them. His uncle, there was another family connection between them. Rav Shmuel Shapiro's uncle, his uncle was Rav Eliashiv's father-in-law, Rabbi Levin, the tzaddik Rabbi Levin. Okay. And Rabbi Levin used to come a lot to Rav Eliashiv, so every time he used to come, Rav Shmuel used to go and talk to him halacha, Torah and halacha. Yeah. So that's Rabbi Levin used to come to Rav Shmuel's house. And Rabbi Ari Levin used to always praise Rav Shmuel. Yeah. How much Rabbi Ari Levin was himself was a huge and a huge tzaddik. How much he appreciated Rav Shmuel. Once, Rav Shmuel Shapira's mother, she passed away one day. Okay? Her name was the Rabbanit Sara Chava. When did she die? It was Lag BaOmer. Where did the Breslov HaChassid go on Lag BaOmer? To Meron. Right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Lag BaOmer, especially Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, him and Rabbi Shimon were one. Right? So again, Lag BaOmer was there. One of the family members was very upset. He knows his mother's on her deathbed. What is going to Rabbi Shimon? What's wrong with him? Okay? And he wanted to do the Vaya Mina, he not wait for Rav Shmuel. Now go find Rav Shmuel. I'm sure there wasn't 500,000 people like today, but there were probably a few thousand over there, and go find him. But the Bayer Levin, the uncle, said, no way. No way. You're not doing the Vaya without Rav Shmuel Shapira. Do everything to reach Rav Shmuel Shapira. How could you find Rav Shmuel Shapira? There's thousands and thousands of people in Meron now. Go find them. Maybe now he's doing Bodidut somewhere in the forest. Who knows where he is? Okay? So, Rabbi Levin called the police in Tzfat and he told them to do everything to reach out to this guy. Rabbi Levin had a lot of power. Everyone knew him, and the government, and the president, and the prime minister. Everyone loved him. He's a very sweet man. He's a big tzaddik. He helped many people. All the time. He loved everyone, even those which hated him and pushed him away, and he loved everyone, mamash. So when he called the police, they do what he said. Fine? So they sent a vehicle. Those days, I don't know how much helicopters they had in them. But they sent a car with a megaphone and screaming his name until they found him. Yeah? And they found him a few hours later. They found him and they brought him to Yerushalayim. And the Levaya was very, very late, in the middle of the night. Yeah. That's the story. Another story. One of the biggest tzaddikim in Am Yisrael in the past, he died maybe 30 years ago. His name was the Beis Yisrael of Gur. Okay? Maybe less than 30 years ago. What am I talking about? Less than 30 years ago. I was, maybe 30 years ago. When Bnei Menachem died, I was 11 years old. Bnei Menachem was a Rebbe a few years ago. Maybe less than 30 years, maybe 27 years ago, whatever. Right? He used to always praise Rav Shmuel also, and every Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Beis Yisrael, it was a huge tzaddik. He used to send Rav Shmuel Shapira a kvito, a letter which is his name. Rav Shmuel Shapira will daven for this big Rebbe. That's how much he appreciated. Okay? Erev Rosh Hashanah. And when he died, when the Beis Yisrael, when he was at his last day, last illness, so he sent to tell Rav Shmuel daven for him. And when he couldn't find him, he said, go do anything in the world to find him. He has to pray for me. And they found him and he prayed. He used to also send him all the time a lot of money to Rav Shmuel Shapira. The Beis Yisrael of Gur used to always send him a lot of money. once a very, very old man, very, very old man, like, I don't know, close to 100, he went to Meron. He was from Poland, and he was from before the war, he was in Poland, and he saw all the biggest tzaddikim, and he saw, he didn't know who Shmuel is, he just saw this Jew, how he's serving Hashem in Meron. He said, this Jew had nothing to be embarrassed even by the Kotzker. The Kotzker, if anyone knows who that was, Nachmendel was Kotzk, he lived 130 years ago. He was truth. Truth, truth, truth. That was his method. That was his thing. Okay? And if it wasn't real, they couldn't understand it. Only truth. When he saw it, and this old man saw Rav Shmuel, he said, even by the Kotzke, he would have passed the test. Every Friday, Rav Shmuel used to come back. He used to go come back from the Kotel, after the Six-Day War. Right? And in his pocket there was always 2 shilling. I don't know, it's a certain amount of money. It's considered, like, let's say 100 shekels, let's say. It's a nice amount. You can buy food for Shabbos, right? 200 shekels, nice amount of money. Anyways, Shmuel never worried about how he's going to have money. Yeah, always somehow something organized around it. Okay, where did that money come from? Every Friday, when Rav Shmuel was on the way to the Kotel, he used to come to the 2 huge tzaddikim. Who? Rav Shlomka Zvil, and the Rebbe of Lelo, who just passed away a few years ago. I think it was him, yeah. And each one, from a different side, he used to put the money in his pocket. He didn't realize. Rav Shmuel didn't realize. And Shmuel, until the end of his life, he never knew who the people put in there. He just didn't know. He walked home every Arab Shabbos and he saw there was money in his pocket. Fine. He bought food for Shabbos. Also, he was never surprised. Whoa, miracle. Obviously, what do you mean? Hashem provides. What's the pele? You didn't see anyone, you just saw Hashem. And the Shlomka Zvil, huge tzaddik, Ruach HaKodesh, talking from his mouth.
Is that how he's buried over in Mount Sakhir?
No, that's his son.
That's his son?
Dale Moshe Zvil. And his son already died already, and now the Rebbe is the 4th Kid Rebbe. He has a yahrzeit, the one in Gansaka has a yahrzeit this month. It's the 27th, I think, or 26th of Feshwar. That you go Monday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now, this is the father. He's huge also. And he said about Shmuel, in guarding the Brit, he's one in a generation. There was a very... What?
Who's that?
Well, we spoke about this. We spoke about this a lot of times. Here,
take.
All the things of Dusha. From not doing Averos, of course, and also all kinds of things of holiness. For example, he went on the bus, and remember the story, and they told him... he told him there will be no women on the bus. He went on the bus, and then he realized there are women in the back. He was afraid, he didn't want to see any women, so he took off his sack and tied it over his eye the whole way. Stuff of Zusha, like separated from the world completely. So walking in the street blind, as if he's blind. Anyways, there was also a very strong connection between Shmuel Shapira and the Lelo Rebbe. Where did this come from? They think that it happened on Tisha B'Av one year. What happened? Every year, on Tisha B'Av night, the Lelo Rebbe used to come to the breast of Shul, stand next to Rabbeinu's chair. Okay? Look at the chair and leave. Every year. They come. When they asked him, well, Rabbi, what's going on? Why do you go to the breast of Shul to look at the Nachman's chair? He said, Rabbi Nachman was the first one to start the way of Mashiach, to coming back to Eretz Yisrael. more than Rav Mendel Vitebs and Avraham of Klis. They came before Rabbeinu, they came after them, and he's the one, by him, by Rabbeinu coming to Israel, he's the one who opened the way, the gates for Mashiach to come, Zal Hashem. Now, people saw that he's going every year, so they started going. When they saw this going on, so there's the Talmidim, the Hasidim, they went with the Rebbe, and he told them, it's not right what you're doing, it's my personal work. Something I do with Hasidim, and something I do alone, it's my personal work. And he saw they weren't listening, so he used to get up very early in the morning, right, when all the Hasidim were out there, and he used to go to the Bais HaShul and look at the chair and leave. Fine. And then Shmuel Pavush, used to go with him. One person find him. So in the shul, when you walked in the rest of shul, there were people who would say, were davening Vasiki, and already were saying Kinos. It was after the sunrise, right after. And he went in and looked at the chair. Afterwards, he started looking at all the people. Suddenly he goes over to Rav Shmuel Shapira, he looks at him for a long time like that, and then he started getting excited just by looking at him. And then he's sitting next to him and started saying with Rav Shmuel the kinois, right? The lamentations. From the kinois that Rav Shmuel is holding, and they're both crying. It's hard to know what the Leil Rebbe's saw and what Rav Shmuel was doing. But one thing's for sure, that since that Tisha B'Av, whenever the Leil Rebbe used to see Rav Shmuel Shapira in Meron, he used to respect him and respect that. He respected only kings in the world. Not much the most. Rav Shmuel never understood, what did he want from me? Who am I? I'm just a I'm a nobody. And the clock is not right. A few more minutes, yeah. And Rav Shmuel was young, he was in his 20s, he used to go to Meron, and the Leil Rebbe used to come also. And whenever the Leil Rebbe saw him, and he saw Rav Shmuel coming, he used to look for a chair for him and get up in front of him.
How old was the Rebbe then?
Old. He's 60, 70, I don't know, older. And Rav Shmuel was 20, 30 maybe. Rav Shmuel never realized even, you know. Once his friend asked him, "Well, why does the Rebbe respect you so much?" Shmuel's friend asked him, "Why did the Leil Rebbe?" Said, "It's probably a mistake. He probably thinks I'm someone else. I don't know." That's what Shmuel thought. Yeah, I don't want to tell him anything because I don't want to embarrass him. So I let him do it. You know? That's how Shmuel. He couldn't think that the Rebbe is respecting him. Probably thinks I'm someone. He's respecting me. I don't want to tell him anything. I don't want to hurt his feelings that he's confused. Maybe he'll think he's too old. I don't know what. Okay, we're going to finish the chapter. When Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, the father of Yitzchak David Grossman from Migdal HaOmek, Yisrael Grossman, when he was on his deathbed, so a few years ago he passed away. The people that wrote the book, so they had an interview with him. And he said a story that once there was a chuppah in the Shmuel's family that was in the Leil of Beis Medrash in Bnei Brak. And the Rebbe lived right there. During the wedding, the Leil of Rebbe used to go back. Went back home. He lived right next to where the Beis Medrash was. After a few minutes, he came back to the wedding and he sat there a few more minutes. And then the Chassidim asked him, Rebbe, why did he go back? Why did he go home and come back? He said, it was worth it to come back just to look again at Rav Shmuel's face.
Is it the older Lelov already?
Rav Moshe Mordechai Milelov. No, it's the one that I think passed away, or his father.
No, I mean, that's right now. I don't know.
I think it's the one that passed away now. No, it can't be. It must be his father. Because he wasn't so old when he passed away. He was in his 70s. 76, 77. Wasn't so old. He had the heart problem. I think it was his father probably. It must be his father. Yeah, the stories of the Shmuel from many years ago. It must be his father. Anyways, one more thing. The whole world, the whole Torah world respected the Shmuel. It doesn't make a difference. It was Litvish, it was Paiskim, it was Hasidim, it was Sephardim, people, Kabbalah, they all respected him. One of the main, one of the most sharp examples is Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul Zatzal. He's buried right here down the road, and, not far from Rav Avadia, just a 3-4 minute walk up the stairs. So he used to send his children to get brachas from Shmuel Shapira. Also, Baalon Rot, he used to told his Hasidim, you want to see a Elder Chayid, you want to see a real Jew, go look at Shmuel Shapira's face. The next stories will be about the connection between Shmuel Shapira and Levi Yitzchak Benda. Next chapter.
Which city has the most attractive women?
Thank you, Val. That's called gallantry.
So, I tried to talk to him about it. I said, you know, as much as I want to see you get married, you're not ready to get married.
If that's what you're looking at, still.
Yeah, because I explained to him, you know, that it's a very difficult concept. Because he laughed at me because I would walk around with my head down trying to
avoid them.
I said, well, this is what we practice. I'm trying not to look. Because no matter what, you're going to see something. You sit down at the restaurant, you're just going to naturally look around. So what you try to do is like minimize that, consciously minimize that.
Yeah.
But I said, if that's what you're looking for, you're not seeing the right things. And I have another son, John, who was coming for several months to Israel. He said, I'm not ready to get married because I have to work on this. So I look at that as, oh, then, you know, I can talk to him about this.
Right.
He'll take a lot more seriously than.
You never know, we'll see.
You know, he goes to Facebook. I want to see what she looks like on Facebook. And by the way, I think that's the norm in the majority of Jewish Americans. The Facebook,
not only
social media.
Not only Jewish. Not only Americans. Unfortunately, not only Americans.